Big Show.
Yep, yeah. We've got a log jam of guests this week because of our adventures with electricity last week. All right, so we want to first welcome back to our program local state Senator Chris Dush. Senator, good morning. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning. It's great to be with you guys.
And it's great to finally have you after our last week. Give Ty a big thank you, because I think I was trying his patience. Ty is your communications director, and I'm like, every day last week, postpone, postpone, postpone. Yikes. Anyway.
You'd think we're a local high school athletic director trying to schedule the baseball and softball games right now.
Not working. All right, we got a lot to talk about, but Senator, my opening question for you today is, we actually had you scheduled a number of weeks ago. You had some surgery recently, so we said, all right, let's put this off. How are you doing? Everything going okay?
Well, they got all the cancer. My PSA test came back with no detectable trace, so I'm in good shape. I've still got some physical therapy and some other stuff to do, but I'm healed, and right now it's looking like I'm cancer-free, so it's a blessing.
Yeah, great news.
That's outstanding. News. That's outstanding. Okay. Let's see. I'm not sure which issue to start with. let's start with Rockview. All right, Rockview Prison. Now, about a week, I've got it right here, about a week and a half ago, your office put out a news release, leading up to whatever the Department of Corrections says they want to do with, again, Rockview Prison and the Quijana Boot Camp. Don't want to forget them, up north of Carthus. And you had a news release about a week and a half ago where you were not a happy camper, I don't think. You mentioned about visiting the prison and some allegations or things that we were told maybe not quite accurate. So let's start from scratch, if you will, from that release from a week and a half ago. What was in that release? What did you see, and why were you unhappy?
Well, I think it was on prior things before I went up to the prison. I pretty much had taken the department at their word about the things that they said needed to be done. But I went up and took a look at the prison, and the things that they were talking about, like the pavement that needed redone, new fences, stuff like that. I was standing on pavement that was less than a year old. I was looking at fences that were almost brand new. The boiler system they said needed replaced. There are two boilers. One of them's already replaced, and the other one's already under contract. I don't like being lied to. And when they say they used that as part of the $72 million, they said needed to be done to renovations. That really had me fired up. So I sent a letter to the department demanding I want to know the names of the members of the steering committee, each of the criteria that was used when determining which institutions to close. Interesting on that, I'm getting some backstory that they only looked at a couple of institutions. They didn't look at all of them. Now, if you're looking to close down the institutions for, ostensibly to save money, you want to look at all of them and figure out what's going to have the most bang for your buck. And I've recently learned that SCI Chester, the therapeutic communities that was actually designed for, they've eliminated the therapeutic communities from that prison, and it costs $208 a day to house inmates at Chester versus 160-some at Rockview. Now, that's significant, and that's a third more housing them down at Chester. Other things, I wanted documents to show how the criteria was applied to each of the department's institution, how each institution scored, and as well as any other documents and correspondence. And those last two things are extremely important to me now, because if what I'm hearing is true, that they did not actually consider every institution, but they were basically targeting some institutions in rural Pennsylvania, I've got a serious issue with that.
Is there a chance, Senator, because we are dealing with government agencies, that this was just incompetency, that they didn't have updated information, or do you feel that as you said, that you were just lied to, that they were just making stuff up to try to strengthen their case, and they thought they'd be able to just run roughshod over, you know, the rural hicks here in central Pennsylvania?
I think that's what they view us as. I mean, quite honestly, what bugs me, Representative Kephart made the comment at the public meeting, I hope there's no sweetheart deals. And I'm also getting some indications that until I can confirm them, I'm not going to go any further, but I'm getting some indications that that may actually be part of the reasoning behind what they're doing. So I've got a lot more digging to do. Secretary Harry responded to my letter. I gave her until last Friday. She responded last Friday, and we got the letter late. But she's just asking us to wait until we get the following the public hearings. The department began drafting responses to provide information to the common themes raised during the hearings. Now, she's going to be publishing the responses to that from the questions everybody was raising, but they're not going. I know they're not going to address the stuff that I wanted in the letter. I've been talking with other legislators who are not happy with the department for a number of reasons, and we're looking to see what we can do moving forward. I'm working to try and get build consensus for a subpoena if necessary, but we need those questions answered, and we need it out in the public how the decision-making process was run and how Rockview scored compared to the rest of the institutions in the Commonwealth, if indeed the department was actually scoring or doing a fair and balanced approach to the evaluations.
Now, Senator, if I count my days right, all right, there's this, they announced it back in February, then there's supposed to be a 90-day period where then after that the Department of Corrections might say, okay, here's what we're going to do, that sort of thing. If I'm correct, that 90 days ends next week. Are you,
yes.
I mean, what you just described, the various moves and so on, is something going to happen next week, or is this going to be delayed? What do you think happens now?
Well, I'm hoping with what's coming to light so far, the fact that they did lie to us, and more and more of our legislators are aware of it, that we may get a pause put on the decision-making. And a reevaluation until everything is out there in the public for people to see. And because I'm planning on, I won't drop this. We need to have this information. It needs to be out in the public, how they came to this decision. And if it was a political decision or if there is some sort of a sweetheart deal for the land at Rockview, then that needs to be out there in the public. It can't, I mean, and it happened before they start making any moves. So I'm digging, but I'm very frustrated. It always throws red flags, and I always get suspicious when they're lying to us and about anything. And I don't take being lied to very very lightly, especially when we're serving the people of Pennsylvania or the people of my district.
All right, now you mentioned a sweetheart deal for land, all right? If that's true, do you have any idea, a sweetheart deal with whom? I mean, there's a lot of land there, there's no doubt. I mean, thousands of acres. Is there some leaning like, well, we think they're going to give it to them or something? Any idea on the sweetheart deal with whom?
Well, because I haven't had, excuse me, I haven't been able to nail down the things that have been told me yet where I can actually say, yeah, this is something. I'm not going to comment on it, but if there's people out there that are involved in that, then they should be aware that I'm aware, and through something like this, and that I will ferret it out. Any land transfers have to come through the state government committee, which is mine, and I'm the chairman. If I find they're sacrificing my constituents and their jobs for the sake of a small number of individuals, that's going to be public.
All right. Now, you mentioned $72 million, you know, to fix up the Rockview place and so on. If they close the place down, this was supposed to be for money savings. Is that the money savings? Is the money savings, I think there's like 600 employees or something, you know, is that the money? Where would the money savings have been if they would decide to close the place down?
Well, any of the facilities they decide to close down, it's going to actually, on the employee side, they're looking at sending all those employees to other institutions. So, realistically, it's not going to save money. Another thing I was looking at with Chester, SCI Phoenix, right now, it does not have, I think it's almost only got on about half of the inmates that it's built for, and that's because of staffing issues. Now, if the department were to close SCI Chester, state employees from Pennsylvania are only to the west and north of Chester because of its location, and that's all in the direction of SCI Phoenix. If they closed Chester down, there's a casino right there at the edge of the property that wants that land. We could actually auction off and sell that land and make some money, get that back on the books as a taxable property in Chester. But that shortage of staff that they have at Phoenix, those folks are all within 30 miles. Most of my employees are driving 60 miles or more each way to work. That 37 miles that the department's using for transferring our folks from Rockview, they're a lot closer. Let's just put it this way. They'll be a lot closer, the employees, if they move from Chester to Phoenix. They won't have to travel near as far. In fact, some of them may end up having a shorter drive.
Now, Jeff and I get to talk about government every now and then. What fun. In a lot of cases, government senator just kind of moves very slowly. Do you expect this to be slow, or the Department of Corrections might put the pedal to the metal here? What all the things you described earlier, what's going to happen here in May?
Well, my hope is that what's coming out now puts a pause to it, and the department decides to put the brakes on it. And I'm looking at holding a hearing demanding the criteria. I'm being told that I may not be able to run it through state government, but have to get judiciary or one of the other committees simply because of the jurisdiction. But any property that's looking to go into mothballs or going under DGS has to come to me. So I'm thinking I've got the authority to do it, but we're rooting through that. But like I said, I'm not going to let this drop. It will be in the public. I will be getting to the bottom of what is going on. And I think the department's intention was to move quickly and just get it done. But I'm hoping that this pumps the brakes and slows it down, gives our employees at Rockview some breathing space, and that we can make sure that the department, if they are going to close down any institution, and we've got the bed space to close something down, but if they're going to do it, and they're doing it to save money, then they need to show that they're doing it to save money, and that they're not targeting a certain area, like our rural Pennsylvania.
It was amazing how the two facilities that they settled on just happened to be right there.
Right smack dab in the middle of the state. Yeah.
Central Pennsylvania. Yeah. Ha, go figure.
All right.
Let's take a break. Some other topics we want to get into for sure.
Yeah, State Senator Chris Dush is our guest. Senator, yesterday PennDOT announced the new road, Bowlesburg to Potter's Mills, their choice. I know you've had some opinions on that in the past, so we're going to talk about that and some other state issues. Friends, you're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll take a break, and we will come back right after this.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during a Belfont cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg and at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a sock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BelfontCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BelfontCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th.
This year's Penn State Board of Trustees election is about transparency and competence. And Pat Romano is asking for your alumni vote. Pat is a successful local business owner from Phillipsburg and a leader on the World Campus Alumni Board who believes in lowering student tuition, saving Commonwealth campuses, improving the Penn State student experience, and in honoring Joe and Sue Paterno by returning the Joe Paterno statue. Number 3 on your alumni ballot, Pat Romano will focus on Penn State's future and enough of the nonsense. This spring, vote for Pat Romano for the Penn State Board of Trustees.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Dottery Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Dottery Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Dottery Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Dottery Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority is proud to support local sports here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Check out our website at centercountyrecycles.org for employment opportunities, upcoming events, the authority's newsletter, and details on what can and can't be recycled, as well as updated schedules. That's centercountyrecycles.org. Once again, the website is centercountyrecycles.org.
Let's talk here on a Tuesday. You're listening to Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff and Scott with you. Again, a little open phone time coming up in the final segment of this morning's program.
Once again, State Senator Chris Dush is our guest for a few more minutes this morning. All right, now, Senator, yesterday PennDOT officially said, okay, here's the route we like for this new road from Bowlesburg to Potter's Mills and so on. And they've got a public... I guess call it a meeting or an event, on Thursday afternoon at the Wyndham Hotel, which a lot of us still call the Elks Club in Ballsburg.
Yep.
Right there, the Elks Club. I believe that event is from 4 until 8 o'clock. Anybody can come out and you can see maps and talk to people and stuff like that. Senator, I'm assuming you saw the information released yesterday. I mean, what's your reaction? Because I seem to recall you had a reaction a while back. You weren't too keen on the routes that were down. You said, what about this other route over here? So what did you think about the information released yesterday?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm down here in Harrisburg this week, and my schedule's been wall-to-wall, but Mark up in my Bellefonte office is sending that down to me to take a look at it. But I will say this, it's kind of prophetic in the timing. It's kind of like God had a plan for this phone call, because these farmers that are going to get displaced, if that's going through the land that I think it is going through, I need them to get a hold of my Bellefonte office, and I'll try and be up there on Thursday evening. I've got some other stuff scheduled, but I'm going to try and break away and get up there for that. There's some land over at Rockview that's been fallow, and it has not been used by the department. And if there's going to be any land transfers with Rockview, my view is it's got to go to the farmers, because they're the ones that are being displaced. The Darlingtons have three times now, if that's their farm, have been displaced by eminent domain. I've got a piece of legislation I'm working on to reimburse the people for good faith. And when you take a farmer off of his farm who has, for generations sometimes, prepared the soils, got the best management practices for soil conservation and that kind of thing, and they've got the equipment not just for the land, but also for the terrain. Getting them reimbursed for all of that, and then trying to put them on a farm that, or a piece of land that is farmable, that's a huge, I mean, that's something for them to really have to struggle to come up with a good place where they can continue their living. So it's a business. Farming is a business. And so I'm going to be very interested in seeing that proposal. And I've been listening to my landowners up there. It's not just the farmers' businesses, but also other businesses that are along that corridor that have been reaching out to me because of the way they see the exit impacting the businesses after they've invested a lot of money in getting their businesses set up, and then the regular homeowners that are going to be impacted. So I'll be up there. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be able to make it and get up there on Thursday, take a look at it. And any of the people who are on there, I encourage them to attend, take a look at it, and get a hold of me and get a hold of my office, because I want to make sure that they're taken care of.
All right. Now, Senator, let me make sure, maybe I'm misunderstanding what you just said there, but if this whole thing goes through, boom, goes through, and there it's done, this is what we're doing, essentially for those farmers that would be affected in that zone between Bowlesburg and Potter's Mills, do you want to do a trade? Like, you want to give them land some other place to make up for what's being taken from them? I mean, am I misunderstanding that?
Well, I'm throwing that out, excuse me, I'm putting that out as a possibility because, but on the other hand, I'm working on a piece of legislation. California has a piece of legislation that makes it so that they call it goodwill, and basically that you have to take into account all the different factors when you're impacting the lives and especially the livelihoods of people when you're seizing land from them. and I'm not sure of what will ultimately transpire with it, but that bill, that piece of legislation, I've actually got some good bipartisan support for. If we can get that through before this happens, PennDOT's going to have some extra expenditures in taking that land, because they have to take into account, give these guys the opportunity to, if we don't have a direct land transfer, then they have to have the opportunity to find good farmland deforest an area and put a farm in and where there's suitable soil to continue what they're doing. But PennDOT needs to be, if we're going to take land from people, if we're going to seize their property, we have to make sure that they're made whole.
But I know you can't see it, but in my in your mind, you should see me standing up and applauding, because this is one of the things. I'm not saying in this particular case. I think eminent domain needs to be used somehow, some way. There's just no way around it. We've got to get the road constructed, and it's a safety issue and all of that. But generally speaking, I just think eminent domain is used way too often, and there is not the consideration that you are taking into account here, which is, hey, yeah, we'll give you the property value. Well, the property value, as determined by the state, doesn't take into account that, just even if it's just a homestead, forget the farming, which I agree adds an entirely different economic component to it. But, you know, if it's a piece of property that has been in your family for generations, like, it is worth more to you than just the, here's the, you know, what X amount of money that the value of the property is deemed to be worth. And yes, I just wish across the board we would do a better job. We as a society of recognizing and, in my opinion, properly compensating people when it is determined that, yeah, unfortunately, we have to take this piece of property for the greater public good.
I can give you where I got a real close example of that. Whenever I was my previous home across from it, PennDOT eminent domained a business. It was a convenience store east of Brookville. And the guy, it was a small convenience store chain, and that was his highest revenue store by a significant amount. And losing that store had an impact on his volume, which impacted the other stores. When a retailer is like a convenience store chain is buying, they're buying based on total volume. And when you have a store that outperforms two others combined, and you've only got a small number of businesses, that volume, his price increases at the other stores went up significantly. But PennDOT wasn't hearing that. They were, when you're impacting people's livelihoods, I mean, people got to make a living, and when you're doing stuff like this, you have to, if we're going to take it, we have to make sure we're looking at all the facets of how it impacts the people's, the people from whom we're taking all that property.
All right, now, Senator, again, yesterday PennDOT said, this is the one we want, all right, and they're going to have this gig on Thursday evening in Bullsburg. Can this be stopped, or does PennDOT normally get what they want? In other words, what sort of happens from this point on?
When they get to this point, that's basically pretty solid. I know they've had a couple times in the past where something's been raised and they've made changes, but that's usually on smaller projects. It's not something as significant as this. If you remember, on the other side of the mountain there on 322, when they had the issue with cutting through that stone and the the chemicals that were going to be coming out just out of the rock that was there. PennDOT ultimately ended up getting that same route, but they had to put some significant extra expenditures into it.
After we were assured that, no, everybody's wrong, you guys.
I do remember that part.
We don't need to rehash that whole deal.
All right, Senator, just a few more minutes. Just sort of an open-ended question. Obviously, we got some hot potatoes here where we are. Statewide for you and your role as Senator, what are top issues in Harrisburg right now?
Well, the biggest issue that we face is the fact that we've got a multi-billion dollar structural deficit. Even if we level fund stuff the way things are going right now, we've got some what they're calling mandatory expenditures that are going to eat through our rainy day fund. But we've got to do some things to start getting business back in the Commonwealth, especially out in western Pennsylvania. The infrastructure, SEPTA is trying to get us to fund a huge amount for their mass transit system. They have taken so much money out of the liquid fuels monies to fund their projects down there, and they haven't raised their fare rates or anything to match that. And unfortunately, that money that the governor took to fund SEPTA in the short term came out of our bridges and our roads in western Pennsylvania. And we can't be repeating that. You know, I tell people down there, I said, you live in Montgomery County, you live in Bucks County, whatever, and you hop on the train or you hop on a bus, and for a half hour, 45 minutes or so, you're getting work done through your Wi-Fi on the train or whatever. You've got a chauffeur. You don't have to pay for your vehicle. You don't have to pay for the insurance. You're not paying for the gasoline. But you're asking our folks out here in western Pennsylvania to use our liquid fuels money, the money that we're using with our gas taxes, while we are paying for our insurance, we are paying our car payments, that kind of stuff. And seriously, I think I've got probably 1,000 emails from down in Philadelphia area trying to get me persuaded to help pay for the mass transit down there. They've got a lot of money down there. They keep, and part of what they say is, well, we generate 41% of the revenue for the Commonwealth. Well, if that's true, then you're making enough money to pay for your own transportation. I'm not for making our constituents pay for that kind of stuff. And by the way, while they're getting their work done, our guys got to keep their eyes on the road while they're driving to work. So, but our budget is a serious issue. And if we start getting the transportation infrastructure money out here into the western part of Pennsylvania, we will start seeing some businesses return. And we need some regulatory reform so that we can get our natural gas brought back online. I don't want to see what happened in Spain happen here, or what happened in Texas during that winter storm a few years back happened here in Pennsylvania. We have been very close to rolling brownouts or blackouts in the southeast with the PJM grid system. Because of the focus on renewables, and we've got good gas supplies here that can generate the constant demand that we need. So, and we can all that can also be used to help bring in business. So, I'll give you one example out at Mahoopany, Pennsylvania. Procter & Gamble has its own Marcellus well, and it is powering everything that they need for their electric, their heating, and everything. And then they've also got money to, or extra that they can add into the grid system when it's necessary. Procter & Gamble was bringing people in worldwide to take a look at how they came up with that, just to get people thinking outside the box on how to take care of how to run a good and efficient business. If Procter & Gamble can do it, there's a lot of other possibilities that we have with state, local state, and national and international corporations to take a look at our region. Get that energy supply close and start bringing our employees back.
Two things real quick, Senator, if you would. One, with the economic situation that the state is facing, it feels inevitable to me, even though I have grave concerns about it, but legalization of recreational marijuana to be regulated by the state. Where do you think we are with that issue right now?
Well, it'll pass the House. I don't see it passing the Senate. I'll just say that. You know, the only states that have it are states that have referendum. And thank God we are a republic still in Pennsylvania. The Republican form of government that Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution guarantees to each state, we still operate by that. The people of Pennsylvania hire folks that hopefully have the character and the integrity to act in the best will of the people. And thus far, we're not facing what they are in places like Colorado, where the former mayor out there, the guy who was mayor of Denver when that law passed out there, says, "I wish I could take my vote back."
Yep.
It's costing Colorado four times as much on human services related to marijuana as it does, or as the revenue that they're bringing in. So the revenue argument is totally bogus. In every single state, it's provable that in every single state where it's been passed, the revenue projections are not what they were claimed to be, and that the social cost with what happens with people who are prone to schizophrenia and the triggering, and I know in constituents in Center County of mine, it's an issue because with the medical marijuana, got a young man who, it was a triggering thing, but they can't get him off of it because it's not a prescription, and the psychologist can't revoke his medical marijuana card.
And finally, it seems like everybody, virtually everybody, is in agreement. Boy, we need to update the election laws here in Pennsylvania. We need improvement there. And it also feels like the two sides just have wildly different ideas about how to go about that improvement. Any chance that we see any changes to the election law here in Pennsylvania within the next year or so?
I have a feeling we're going to get some things passed, but we're not going to get back to where we were when people had total had a lot more integrity or faith in the integrity of the system. I make the comment down here a number of times and said, you know, their argument is about getting the information out, the results out, blah blah blah, so fast. I said, it's odd. I said, back in the Pony Express and the Telegraph, we could still have the answer the following morning as to who won the election, just because we had the Telegraph could get the information. And now with computers and that can do things in nanoseconds, we can't have election results on election night. We need to get back to the things that were working before. And I think we're starting to come around to that. The frustration is now from the constituents in both parties, less the politicos. It's more about talking points and things like that. But when you talk to everyday people in both parties, they want a simpler system that gets the job done, and they can have the results on election night. And I think that's where we need to go.
All right, Senator, quick question, and we'll wrap it up. The arson at the governor's mansion, all right? Somehow this guy gets on the property, and this guy gets in the building, and this guy torches part of the building. And there's going to be an investigation now, and the stories say that when they're done, they're going to keep the information private. Senator, I'd like to know, all right, I'm going to speak as a constituent. I want to know how this guy did this and who screwed up. All right, what is your thought on that?
Well, I used to do security in the Air Force. The lack of defense in depth, as we called it in the military, between the perimeter and that room that that individual got access to is very short. And I've been down there, and I've been in the courtyard, and I've been in that room, and it's not really part of the residence. The building is part of the building as a whole, but that is kind of separate from the main residence. But there will be things that can't be told to the public simply because of, just like with the military, on a military installation, you don't want to reveal everything. That said, there are a number of shortfalls that I know have to be identified, and that one's going to have to be a balancing act between what can be released and what could, if it was released, end up being a means for another bad actor to decide whether or not, or that, oh, this is something I can exploit. So I know the Senate is going to be looking at this and going to be examining it, and I'll be looking forward to seeing the report myself. So that one I'm going to have to trust me. I get what everybody wants to know, but there are people who have bad intent that want to know as well.
All right. Well, Senator, we appreciate your time this morning. Thank you very much. And good news for you that when we let off there, I'm glad that you're doing much better. That's great.
Yes.
There were a lot of prayers there. And by the way, thanks to everybody who was praying for me. I know it works. It's a great impact. So I truly appreciate it. And thank you guys for what you do. And I'm very grateful that you guys are back on the air. And sorry for the one young man that we lost with the power lines. But we went through a lot up there over the last week or so. So,
no doubt. Well, we appreciate your patience with us as well.
Senator, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thanks.